Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Facebook Live. And hello, the world. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Can I recommend that you find us on Facebook? If you're listening to the podcast, you find us on Facebook and go and check this out. If you're watching right now, then you can enjoy. We're all in wonderful Canterbury jerseys. The brand new untouchable jersey, the Lion British and Irish Lions 2017 jersey. So thank you to Canterbury for, and Warren Gatland for handing us our jerseys.
Yeah.
But obviously, because we don't do things by halves, we don't just put a jersey on because, well, we just don't think you should just put a rugby shirt on with a pair of jeans.
No.
Full kit.
Full kit or nothing.
Full kit. And I'm very disappointed, gentlemen, that neither of you are wearing boots.
Well, I know. Well, we're not wearing trainers.
That is true.
Unlike you two cowards, I actually play still. So my boots are full of mud. I've got an excuse.
The light in my shed is broken and I was going around it in the dark trying to find them but couldn't. So I've had to come without boots, but I'm in full kit. Have a look at our Facebook page for the brand new Lions jersey. You'll see it being worn by us and you can watch the podcast, which you may well be doing now. If so, then like, share, give your comments and we can include what you've got to say in the podcast as it goes on. Otherwise, comment on the podcast, anything you hear, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, get involved. Right, we should get into it then. So hands in.
Wait.
Hands in.
I'm injured. Quickly.
Hands in. Pod on three.
One, two, three. Pod!
Hello, Egg Chasers. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates, rugby fans that love the game just as much as you do. I'm Tim, that is JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Philip.
Hello, Tim.
And leave your reviews on iTunes, that may be where you're listening, you can subscribe there, or on Acast. For example, Brunts94 says, consistently a great listen, even if they do have a slight addiction to Ellis Genge's social media. We do. Clever Trevor gave us a 5-star review and said, "De bester rugby manshaft."
Yeah, fair.
Couldn't agree more. Listen to earlier podcasts if you don't understand that one. And this one says, it's from Offside Flanker, says, as good as Ireland beating the All Blacks, 5 stars, boost the morale on the commute to work, very knowledgeable, wit as sharp as a cornerstone razor. And finally, Posh Barrington said, I really enjoy this pod, it makes me laugh, not only because it allows me to seem more informed than those Autumn International and Six Nation only fans that we all work with, but also because it gives an insight into the big issues. Players' girlfriends, Ellis Genge, DJ Hask's big tunes. So there you go. So if you're looking for a pod with right wing, in brackets, check out JB's Twitter. Right wing values, check out JB's Twitter. Terrible production values, brackets.
Check out JB's Twitter.
Cute and advert. Awkward moments, then get involved. And then it says, Phil is cool.
They are.
There you go. iTunes.
Thanks.
Yeah. iTunes and Acast. And so this is the international podcast, right, boys?
That is correct.
We're going to do a midweek domestic podcast as we did last time.
That is also correct.
So this one is all about the international rugby. And what a weekend of rugby it was. At all levels of the game, it was awesome. Amazing.
Yes, I mean, obviously the big game this week was Tok H, who took on... who did he take on this week? Colin Nelson, another big win.
Yeah.
But because of that big win, I might have had a little bit too much alcohol. So I have seen these games, but my recollection of them isn't great.
Well, Phil was in Dublin.
I was.
So we have an eyewitness.
But hang on, I imagine you ingested more alcohol than I did.
I don't know how much you ingested. I did drink a lot of beer and a lot of mimosas.
Did you have a brunch?
Yesterday. We had a brunch. We had a bottomless brunch.
Oh, amazing.
Directly before the England game. Then enjoyed the England game with a couple of Guinnesses and then made our way over to the stadium.
Oh.
Got in there about half an hour before kickoff.
Wonderful.
Soaked up the atmosphere. And the atmosphere was unbelievable. Everything you would expect. And it probably came across on TV.
It did. But it will never do it justice.
Yeah, it might not have quite done it real justice because actually being there in the stadium, when the haka was going on, when Ireland were preparing, and then the kickoff, the noise was unbelievable. I don't think I've been to a game quite like it.
Really?
Really. The last time I've been to a game where it's probably pushed that atmosphere close was Ireland against Wales, where me and you went, Tim, in the six.
Wales held off Ireland on their own line for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Best 4 minutes of rugby in the last 10 years.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to bob out the link. Where are we on?
Oh, no, I've done it.
Huh?
I've done it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All sorted.
So just a reminder, we are on Facebook Live and you can watch it. That's what I'm just trying to check. Anyway, right. So let's talk Ireland versus New Zealand. Redemption, revenge, however you want to put it. New Zealand thoroughly deserve their win. But a fantastic test match.
Yeah.
It was frustrating for me because I was going there very much with my Ireland hat on. I wanted Ireland to do it again. And you almost felt there was this inevitability right from the start when New Zealand retained their own kickoff and when phase after phase after phase, eventually Bowden puts the cross kick to Malachi Fekitoa and he crashes over. And you felt from then it wasn't going to be Ireland's day. And Ireland came back incredibly well. They had so much territory, so much possession and so much control over the game. Again, they only conceded 4 penalties, whereas New Zealand conceded 13 or 14.
Mm.
So they had all this territory, all this possession, all this control, but they just didn't have a cutting edge. And it was that final bit. They needed someone to offer that spark. And lots of players put their hands up in lots of different ways, but no one quite had that razor-sharp cutting edge. Conversely, when New Zealand got a half chance, I mean, that last try, ignoring the possible forward pass, but just the finishing
it
to do that in
wasn't
no
a forward pass, but anyway.
In no space. Well, I know there was talk during the game, and I've not seen it properly since then.
Which forward pass was that?
It wasn't.
Was that for the second try?
No, the last try.
The last try.
Last try.
Right.
The last try.
I mean, the thing which got me about this is it wasn't a traditional All Blacks game. I mean, they didn't concede many points to start with. Their defence was fantastic. And to be fair, their defence is good.
Their defence was incredible.
And they didn't have that second half blitz.
No.
I mean, Ireland, the biggest compliment you can give to Ireland is they made the All Blacks look mortal.
Yes.
Having already beaten them, something just wasn't quite right.
But Ireland will be frustrated because of all that territory and all that possession. New Zealand, 14 penalties. They had 2 men sent to the bin during the game. And Ireland still couldn't get over the whitewash. Yeah. They couldn't score that try. And that's, I actually came away, loved it. It was brilliant. And massive thanks to Canterbury for the tickets. But I felt a little bit disappointed. I felt a little bit frustrated because Ireland should have done a little bit better than they actually did.
Which of the Ireland players really stood out for you? Who's put their hand up for Lions selection now?
Well, Sean O'Brien coming back in, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Which is only, he might have played 5 games since coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's still probably lacking a tiny bit of match fitness, but he's still spectacular.
Yeah.
Josh van der Vlier was good. Heaslip is having a hell of an Indian summer.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, I call him the flat track bully of international rugby, the Patrick Kluivert of the Six Nations. But he played really well.
He played really well in the last game. This year he's been.
I love watching that whole back row just ball carry. I mean, just CJ Stander, particularly in that first half, it was just fantastic to watch.
And Paddy Jackson when he came, because Ireland had a lot of injuries, so Stander went off.
Yep.
Obviously Henshaw went off. Sexton went off with his hamstring. So all of the Ireland players stood up well. You could not point a finger at any of them and say they underperformed.
Isn't it weird for Ireland?
You couldn't say any underperformed, but no one did that extra bit in attack. They were all incredible.
One person in attack for Ireland, probably the most exciting player for me for the whole day.
Ringrose.
Furlong.
Oh, Phil.
Oh, yeah. My word. Wow. That guy. Whoa, he's just something
else. Twig Amala in his prime.
Yeah, I want Ireland to... If they had 15 furlongs, they would have beaten New Zealand 60-0. There is
man,
no
the scrum
doubt.
Would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What an unbelievable prospect that guy is. The power.
Can I just say, isn't it weird for Ireland, right? You rewind the clock, say, 5 years ago, and Brian O'Driscoll pulls his hamstring in his last ever international game. Wouldn't you have assumed at that point that that was the high watermark of Irish rugby?
Yeah.
You know, because you had the two locks going, you had Darcy, you had O'Driscoll. It's almost like a national mourning. And then 5 years later, you could argue that this actually is the best Ireland team that they've ever had.
Yes. Well, yeah. Lawrence Hooper tweeted us to at Rugby Podcast, and he made a point quite similar to this one. I wrote it down. It said, the big point for Ireland out of these games is they're no longer reliant on talisman. They have depth.
That's a great tweet.
It's a great way of putting it.
It is, actually.
Because Van der Flier was fantastic coming off the bench.
Yep. Yeah. And a few years ago, if Sexton had gone off, they could have capitulated. But having someone like Paddy Jackson, who is a quality replacement, I'd say it's one thing that I really enjoyed, being in the Irish crowd, they call all the players by their first names.
Oh, do
so
they?
It's all, go on, Johnny.
go on, Taj.
Go on, Shawnee. Go on, Ian.
yeah, I am guilty of that occasionally.
Simon. Yeah. So I was really getting into the spirit of it.
But it's sort of in summarising kind of what you said, Liam Doherty was another person that tweeted us and said, loved seeing New Zealand being pressured with the ball and looking shaky, but... if you can't put the ball over the line, you will lose.
Yes, definitely.
And that's what it comes down to. And I think, kind of echoing that in a way, Dara Ruddy said, let's hope the chat is about a fantastic test match on the podcast and not the emotional reactions afterwards. We've all been there, hashtag LTBP.
Ooh.
I would say on that front, can I just...
I'm looking forward to this so much.
No.
Following our Twitter and I'm just looking forward to
this
volcanic eruption.
No. One thing I would say that Phil wouldn't have experienced... was the Sky Sports commentary team.
No.
Which included Alan Quinlan. Someone who's, you know, had some interesting actions on a pitch himself.
A gouger.
He may have eye gouged.
He was a very hard player. Very physical player.
He may have eye gouged. No, he did.
Firstly, he kept referring to this, or the commentator and him kept referring to this as the two best teams in the world.
Okay.
Which annoyed me.
Maybe.
It's like, Ireland had a great game in Chicago, but let's not get overboard here.
Maybe. Yeah. You might have a point.
No, Ireland aren't the second best team in the world.
According to the rankings, you get off?
Well, no, just...
Who are the second best team in the world?
One swallow doesn't make a summer.
Who are the second best team in the world?
England are, currently.
Is that what you think?
Well, they are, but by the rankings and by...
Oh, so it is by the rankings?
And by the fact they hammered Australia three times in the summer.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Anyway.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
So, yeah. But it was unbelievably the most painfully biased commentary I've ever heard. It was awful to listen to.
You've heard Brian Moore and Jonathan Davis.
I've heard Brian Moore, I've heard Jonathan Davis. It was so painful to listen to. I'd be really interested, if we have any Irish fans listening, did you find that as painful to listen to, or as embarrassing, or as awkward? I just thought it was... that element of it, the bias nature of it, was dreadful, because I was enjoying it. I loved watching Beauden Barrett.
But you don't like a bit of bias in your commentary?
Yeah, I don't.
Were you like one Irish guy, one New Zealander, or do you just want?
I like passion, but when you like completely close your mind off to one thing and make excuses for it, oh no, that was fine, and then the next thing, oh, it should be a red card.
I guess you want a guy who's passionate about the game of rugby,
yes, exactly.
And is excited for both.
Yeah.
In both directions.
Yeah, exactly. An impassioned neutral would be better.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
Do you reckon then they should pass a law like, do you know what, referees have got to be from a neutral country?
Yeah.
Maybe a
commentators.
From a neutral hemisphere. There you go.
I don't know about that. I like the passion of someone who's really rooting for a team. I like
if you're having a neutral hemisphere, when a southern hemisphere plays a northern hemisphere team, how do you manage that?
The game reminded me of a game from, say, 10, 20 years ago. The physicality of it. I loved watching it. It was
brutal.
It was.
What was the most physical part of it, Tim?
All of it.
The most physical part. Come on.
No.
Tad Furlong.
It was all massive. Yeah, Tad Furlong was probably the most physical specimen on the field. Yeah. I thought that there was a lot of cynical play and the game was officiated very poorly both ways. So Ireland were unbelievably cynical at the breakdown and were holding on to New Zealand tacklers and slowing it down. I've watched the game again, and it was clearly something they did deliberately. And the referee just didn't get control of it. And like,
that's quite interesting.
Tempers kind of simmered, and it was like a pan boiling, and it was going to go, and it went on all sides. But it was massively, massively physical. So the referee had a bad go both ways, and but one thing, right. Okay, all right, fine, I'll go there, JJ.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. So what I will say before I get into this is I don't mind anyone questioning any decision.
Okay.
I think that one thing we do as rugby fans, and I do it as much as anyone, is we feel like we have some kind of moral superiority over, say, football.
Yes.
And I'm proud to say that for the most part we live up to that. However, it really, really upsets me, makes me angry when you see referees getting accused of being cheats.
Yeah, I know.
When teams get accused of being cheats.
Completely agree with
that. And
that
was a massive amount.
No, although teams can be cheats. I mean, teams are allowed to cheat, and they should be cheating. They're not cheating, they're not trying.
To question the integrity of a referee. You can question the decisions a referee makes.
Absolutely right.
But to question the integrity of a referee really hacks me off. And that was a massive amount of... And Twitter's a weird place where you see... You're behind a. You're not there having a conversation with a person, so you put out really strong opinions. But there was that's a lot of what I saw, and that's what some of my tweets were about. Just like, come on, there's not cheating going on. The referee isn't biased. He may have made a decision you don't agree with. Have a conversation about it. Don't start making crazy accusations.
Fans.
What were the crowd like? Were they saying similar things?
The crowd, there was a lot of booing and hissing. So it was. It's kind of as you'd expect. They were. Booing the decisions when the try was the Bowden Barrett try was given, they were booing that decision. And when Sam Kane wasn't given a yellow card, or
well, on the
like
Bowden
that.
On the Bowden Barrett grounding, if it wasn't grounded, it was a penalty try, yellow card or red card. Johnny Sexton with his fist connecting with the face of Bowden Barrett. I wouldn't say it should be a yellow or a red, but actually, other people who think that Sam Kane should have been yellowed or redded, I would say.
I actually think justice was probably done on the Bowden Barrett, because I don't think he grounded it.
I think he did actually.
One angle looked like it did, one angle looked like it didn't.
Yeah, so the angle where he didn't, it was just like, it was a very fortunate camera angle for Sexton, because his forearm was on the outside of the ball.
Yeah,
see what I mean?
But it looked like the ball was angled up from where...
Yeah.
Anyway.
But if you can see one...
If Johnny Sexton was a more powerful bloke, if he was the size of, say, Matt Luamanu, or Tad Furlong, and he'd connected with Bowden Barrett's face in the way he did,
if Furlong,
then we would have been talking about a red card, because Bowden Barrett would have been out cold.
Yeah.
So
potentially,
this is kind of what I mean. Where when I come back to this general thing of accidents can happen, there was no intent from Johnny Sexton. He was trying.
But that's a slightly different scenario. Both guys
to what?
To the scenario where someone does get knocked out. Because they're both diving towards the floor. He's not making a tackle either, which is an interesting one. He is trying to steal the ball. So I don't know what the law says about
that. Well, I'd say that's even more reckless. If you're going for the ball and you connect with someone's face, then you could argue that's reckless.
I'm going to carry the ball around my face.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
Yeah.
This is a coaching point.
I know. So that was one contentious decision, and I agree with you, Phil. Justice was done. Whichever way you look at it, even if you think it wasn't grounded, it would have been a penalty try. And arguably 10 minutes at least for Sexton.
Yes.
If they bothered to look at it. I don't think it should have been 10 minutes, but anyway.
Henshaw.
On the basis of what people seem to think about Sam Kane, it would have been not just 10 minutes for Johnny Sexton and a penalty try, it would have been a yellow card or a red card.
Well, there's a range of opinions on the Sam Kane thing, which is he should have been awarded the penalty because of the obstruction, because Henshaw got in his way, and the complete opposite to that is he should be in stocks. Yeah. Or he should go to the electric chair. There is such a range of opinion on what should have happened. I think it should have been a red. No, sorry, it should have been a yellow, maybe a red.
Because when you looked at this, the first time you looked at the bit of footage and you commented on it on Twitter yesterday, you said head to head, no worries, carry on.
This is okay. So the action of the tackle itself, the damage is head-to-head, I'm sure it is. I'm sure when he goes out cold, it's because Sam Kane's head has hit his head. So That's not really.
I think the shoulder
looks like it's careering towards him. But
anyway, so I'm interested about why you changed from nothing to see here to yellow card.
Because it's the intent of going high. So it's his recklessness which has caused that issue.
Rather than intent. You have to be very careful with your language around this.
Yes. He didn't intend to do it.
And when you make that judgment, are you making it by looking at those incredibly slowed down images of the incident, or are you looking at it when it was a fraction of a second Henschel pirouetting, changing direction as Sam Kane is moving towards him?
Yeah, but he's not changing height, and Sam Kane is very high.
You seen it in full speed?
Yes.
And when you saw it in full speed, what did you think?
It's a real tough one, and if they don't clash heads, I'm pretty sure that Kane's shoulder is going to knock his head off anyway.
Well, so what did the TMO say at the time? He said,
I couldn't hear it. They basically said
penalty only. There was Henschel was moving and had spun into him and was moving downwards. There was, you know, the connection is high, no intent.
But it is reckless. There's no talking about that. It is reckless.
Yeah, and this is the difference.
I wouldn't use the word reckless. I'd say it was high. That's it.
Well, reckless is the word that World Rugby use. So they've recently clarified and defined reckless act.
No, I remember this. It was only last week as well.
Two
weeks ago they did it.
No, they defined it in May last year.
Oh, okay, but they brought in that new directive.
Yeah, they've changed things a little bit recently. But I think it's different to the Luamanu because, like you say, Jay, I do think the head-to-head is the biggest cause of the injury.
Yep.
But his shoulder does hit his head. Kane's shoulder definitely hits.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about that.
Well, on that basis then, Callum Clark, and we'll talk about this in the midweek pod, Callum Clark should not be cited and should not have anything against him when he looks like, to me, deliberately tried to elbow the eye socket of...
Callum Clark would never do anything
of O'Callaghan.
Like that.
And today, Halani Olika, because of the quick reactions of Jim Hamilton for Saracens...
Halani Olika
swung a haymaker at Hamilton's head. He managed to duck, and as a result, it was only a yellow card, not a red card. So what are we judging? The intent and the action... or the outcome? Because it seems to me more and more, and this bothers me a lot, it seems to me more and more we're judging the outcome.
First point, intent doesn't come into it in terms of defining whether it's a penalty or not, whether it's foul play. Intent only comes into defining the sanction. So if you intended to do it, it should be a higher sanction than if you didn't intend to do it. With that said, World Rugby have defined recklessness and it's not considering the safety of the other player.
Yep.
And I do think that Sam Kane action was reckless. It is different to the Luamanu's, in which, because the majority of the damage was the head-to-head, I do think possibly a yellow card would be justified. But this evening he has been cited, so we will find out exactly what World Rugby think.
It was a tough one. It's a real tough one.
Someone's just commented, Tim, what size are those shorts? Small. I need to pull them out.
That was interesting about the game, actually. Fekitoa has the small... He's got Sonny Bill Williams shorts on.
Yep.
Whereas Israel Dagg doesn't look like he's in great shape. He's playing very well. He's a hell of a player.
Mm.
But he was wearing... like basketball shorts.
Was he?
Yeah.
I remember that. Fekitoa is a fantastic specimen. Yeah.
Yes.
He really is. And you know, if you are in good shape, like most of the All Blacks are, that black jersey really does help.
Nice slimming black jersey.
Mm. Can I just have honourable mentions for a few players?
Yep.
I thought Luke Marshall was exceptional. Sorry, not Luke Marshall.
Luke Marshall?
Who's the guy with the scrum hat?
Paddy Jackson? No.
Oh. No, he came on a sub, scrum hat, threw an offload, fell on the floor.
Huh?
There was a guy with a scrum hat.
Josh Van der Fleer.
Yeah, which is why I got confused with Luke Marshall.
Josh Van der Fleer came off the bench wearing a scrum hat.
I thought he was absolutely awesome.
He was. He was very good.
Who was the other one that... And why didn't Ireland carry 12 cover when they've got so many amazing centres?
Yeah, good question. I guess they thought you can push Payne in there. But it is... He's not really a 13, he's a 15. Mm. So you you push him into 13 and he does a job, he played manfully.
I mean, what has McCloskey done not to deserve getting into that team?
Well, he is injured at the moment. But there are
players who are enough utility. Olding could cover several positions in the back line, so there's an argument for having someone like him for the occasion when you have 12. There were some funny tweets. So Ian tweeted at Rugby Podcast, "The last time I saw such hysteria from Ireland was when Bod was dropped from the Lions in 2013. Jake 15 is a New Zealander and said, "When we were beaten, we held our hands up and congratulated the better team." Here, and this is just what he said. He said, "I can't help thinking that there's a lot of sore losers." And then WF Lang, another Kiwi who tweeted us at Rugby Podcast, "No one does hysterical like an Irish supporter." So there's a bit of there's some banter flying around. Let's simmer it and keep it friendly and nice. All I want to say is amazing test match.
Yeah.
And regardless of any of the decisions of a referee, which weren't cheating or biased, they may have been wrong. That's a subjective thing. That's your own opinion, and that's fine. But it wouldn't have affected the result because Ireland could not score.
No, it would not have affected the result whatsoever. So there should be no complaints from Irish
Did
fans.
You see Paul O'Connell's half-time breakdown of it?
On Twitter or...?
It was... I'll see if I can find it. It was absolutely brilliant. He was one of the commentators. And I just thought... he's a total... He gets rugby. I just think I want more people like Paul O'Connell. He was loving the... I'll find that while you guys carry on talking.
Well, should we talk about a different test match?
Yeah. So,
should we briefly touch on England?
Yeah, yes. We don't need to spend a long time on that.
No, I mean, it's kind of, what did you expect? You know, Fiji came, they looked a bit Fijian, they made some breaks, what did you expect?
England came and looked a bit Fijian in a lot of cases. Nathan Hughes and Samisa Rokodaguni.
Yeah.
To add to the Kiwis, Dylan Hartley and Tamina Harrison and...
The Vunipolas.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that basically sums up the entire game. It's exactly what we expected. I didn't get anything out of this game whatsoever, really. I don't know why anyone even watched it.
We saw some different combinations. So we saw Daly on the wing, and he played well.
Yep.
Against a weakened team. We saw Goode at fullback. Again, he played well.
After the first minute, his obligatory little blip.
Yeah. Well, he's got to make one mistake at some point, hasn't he?
Get out of the way.
Rokodaguni was outstanding.
Yeah.
And we saw a bit more of Tamina Harrison, who was possibly a bit underwhelming.
Well, okay, so let's just focus on Goode a second. So, Brown is going to be, I think, 34 by the next World Cup. Is he 30 now?
I think he might be 31 now. Yeah, so 3 years, 34.
I already don't like where this is going. I hate these type of points. He's not going to make the next World Cup, so let's not play them now.
It's a very Lancaster-esque point.
Yeah.
Well, Goode is the obvious next guy up. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's second in line.
But then a couple of years ago, we'd have gone, "It's all right, we've got our second row sorted, launch Brian Laws," and then out of the blue comes Mario Itoje and George Cruz.
Do you know what? I just wonder if England are going to go from Brown, skip Goode because he's 28, and then go to a Mike Haley or Anthony Watson.
Yeah, I think the long-term development would be Watson or Noel.
What about Daly? I mean, if his kicking is as valuable as people say, and it's very handy weapon to have, do you make a space for him at fullback?
But he's not getting game time at fullback, is he?
Not getting game time on the wing?
Yeah, but I think that was just they were testing it out because you can carry him as a bench player to give you that back three cover.
Yeah.
In case of injury. I don't think he'll start a big test match on the wing, but he's in case of injury.
No, but if, you know, Manu's going to be back soon, so you know, you've got more selection headaches there.
Maybe.
No, he's training well, apparently, and he'll be back for next week.
Yeah, but he was back 8 weeks ago and lasted one game.
That's a solid point you make, and he's not really played very well at all for about 3 years.
Yeah, since 2013.
Fine. But from what I understand, he is training very well.
Yes.
And he would have played this week, but they'd just been extra careful, giving him an extra week off.
Good.
So if he comes back into the fold, say, that would, of course, make Goode more valuable, because then you need your second playmaker, because it's not going to be Farrell. But, of course, I think they'll go with Daly because of that long-range kicking, or they'd stick with Brown. But I just wonder if they're going to skip the Goode era altogether, which I've been so eagerly waiting for.
I don't think it works like that for the reason I said. It doesn't work that there's let's groom this person, then they're a successor. I think England have the depth and the quality, and it doesn't really matter. I just think pick your best team and win the next game.
I completely agree. I've been saying that for years. But I just wonder if Goode will never actually have that stint as the number one guy.
Quite possibly, but that will be on a merit, not because we need to skip past him. If he's if he's the best at any point, the best option, he will be selected.
And he was first choice a few years ago for a period.
Was he?
Like in the 30-3 crushing by Wales in 2013, was it? 2012?
He was first choice that day.
Well, Brown was on the wing.
Oh, was it? Yeah,
he was. Yeah, because Cuthbert ran round him.
Oh, God. Cuthbert.
Oh, God.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, before we get into that, anything else you want to highlight on the England game?
There's nothing I want to say.
We didn't learn
about
a huge amount. Some frustratingly poor tackling from England. Although there's obviously some very good, powerful Fijian players.
It was... while we're talking England, did you see... Oh, my God, I've got to find this. Did you see what Eddie Jones had to say about Steve Borthwick being part of the Lions?
I loved it. If this is what he actually said, I love it.
No, it's a direct quote. I've seen it in a paper.
Yeah.
A quote from Eddie Jones.
I have seen it, if you can get it.
Eddie Jones said... he's great. It's great for Steve Borthwick. Basically, he said it's great for Steve Borthwick if he's going. What was it? 10 million.
No,
10-week period of being
of hearing bro 50 times a day.
Of hearing bro
7 million times.
7 million times a day. If he comes out of that unscathed, brilliant.
Hey, bro. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of bro-ing.
Hey, bro. Welcome to New Zealand, bro. Good to have you here, bro. It was very funny. I've got that little Paul O'Connell clip, by the way. So this is Paul O'Connell at half time when there was someone from RTE, the Irish broadcaster, who interviewed Steve Hansen, and just the only question in post-match interview was, were you dirty though, and he just I'm not interested. This is Paul O'Connell when the people were, when the his the pundits were trying to say, oh, is there anything dirty going on here? This is the class of the man.
It's incredibly physical, and I think it's a really respectful performance from New Zealand. Two of the penalties they've given away, I know the penalty count is 8-2, but two of the penalties they've given away have been really cynical penalties, and they've been brilliant penalties. They've led to 6 points from Ireland, but it could have been 14. And, I think those two penalties that they gave away, one on the line where CJ nearly got over, and the other one at the scrum, have really helped New Zealand this game.
He had a big smile on his face saying, just like, love the physicality of it, and I love that New Zealand are having to be so cynical when they play Ireland, but isn't it brilliant how smart and streetwise they are?
Yeah.
Well, that's their job. I mean, their job is make a decision, a good decision. Do I give away 3 or do I give away 7? I tend to think any penalty in the 5-metre line for slowing the ball down should result in a yellow card.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I'm with that as well.
I don't understand why it's not. It happened today in the Leicester game, there's a couple of penalties on the Leicester try line. I was like, that should definitely be a yellow card.
Yeah.
No ifs or buts.
So what's the situation with England and this 18? I know it's an artificial thing, it doesn't really matter, but and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I am worried about Australia, but this 18 game record that New Zealand have.
Okay.
So England have won 12 on the bounce now.
Yes.
Which is impressive in itself. They've got Argentina next, 13, Australia 14, then Six Nations.
Hang on, are they a week behind?
So that would put them to 19.
Or is it that they might beat it if they win through the Six Nations? Or do they equal it in the Six Nations? Have they done 11 now?
I thought they'd equaled it in the Six Nations. And then
they play New Zealand.
But
I don't think
they play New Zealand first. I was looking the other week to try and find out what the running order for next year's tests are, and I can't find them anywhere. So we know they're playing New Zealand, but I don't know if they're playing them first.
It's all going to be irrelevant because Australia, I'm really worried
well,
about.
Well, okay, just before you continue, I think there might be something up here, which is, don't all the test match, aren't they all organised 2 years in advance?
Yes.
And isn't this the end of that cycle?
No, it's after 2019. There's no further test match booked in after 2019.
That's right. And then New Zealand are saying, well, we're just going to do our own thing.
Yeah, because they're pushing for the global season.
They are, but I mean, they can do their own thing. But where are they going to play, and who else will they play? So I don't. Then in that case, I don't know why.
But to answer that question, I think if they win everything now to the end of the Six Nations, that would have them equal it. But then I don't know who their next game would be against, because they wouldn't have a summer tour because of the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
unless they do like a kind of second string tour like they did in the last lines when they went to Argentina.
I think they might do. I think all the home nations are in a second string tour.
Because Wales went to Japan,
yep,
and lost a couple of games.
I've seen some pictures from the Georgia match this weekend again, and I really want to go to that Romania game if we can do it.
Yes.
Oh, I do as well.
It looks great. We should. I mean, we've already had people listening. We mentioned it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. We've already had...
£44 return, done.
We've already had listeners get in touch on Twitter and say... hit them and five lads are doing a weekend there, watching all the Six Nations games on the Saturday, Romania v Georgia on the Sunday, £150 for flights and hotel.
And accommodation, awesome.
Yeah, it almost feels rude not to. Conor O'Shea, what a day for him.
Yes.
I'm going to have to make an admission, I did not see any of this game because I'm an idiot. I just didn't think it'd be relevant.
So I was in Synod's Bar in Dublin watching the England on the big screen, but it great sports pub. It also had Wales Japan on, and it had Italy South Africa on. Ooh. Different TVs.
Which one did you spend most of your time watching?
More
Wales Japan,
more on England. Oh, okay. Just because it was the bigger game, it was the biggest TV.
Oh, okay.
But there was people, so you'd hear a cheer, you'd be watching England, you'd hear a cheer going up, and you're like, right, which TV is it, which TV? Unfortunately, there's some football on one of them as well, so occasionally got fooled into getting excited.
Is this an all-time low for South Africa?
Well, statistically it is. I mean, it's the most games I've ever lost in a calendar year. It's now the worst run in their history, I think. So, you know, that's where they are.
I saw a really funny thing online, actually, which had a picture of... it had taken Alistair Curtis's body in his South African blazer at a post-match press conference, and it had got... they posted Donald Trump's head on it, and the caption just said, "Let's make Springboks great again."
Well, they need to do something. I don't
build
think...
and then it was written underneath. The comment was, "Yeah, build a wall to keep currently overseas players based in South Africa in to play for the Springboks and make the French pay for it."
Yeah,
not
and plus Donald
idea.
Trump hates the All Blacks.
Does he?
Does he?
Well, he did. Oh, he probably would. But anyway, trying to fuse topicality and rugby there, boys.
That's not. I know nothing about I know nothing about this game. I don't know what.
Don't need to know a lot. It's just a great win.
It's a great win.
I've learned a valuable lesson, which is don't write off the Italians like I've been doing for 12 years.
Yes,
finally come back to bite me.
I did watch them against the All Blacks last week. Against a second-string All-Black team, and they weren't very good, in all honesty. They got hammered by a second-string All-Black team.
I'd love to know what went on here.
I saw the end of it, the kind of finale, where there was a disallowed try for Italy. But it didn't matter because they were already 2 points up and they just closed the game out.
Even though this is the worst Springbok team in history, let's just call it that. Let's go with that, right? Is this the best ever win for an Italian side? Or is a win over France more important?
They've beaten France, they've beaten Ireland.
Beaten Ireland, they've beaten France. They've beaten everyone, I think, except for England in the Northern Hemisphere.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you look at the history, I'd say yes, but because it is a poor South Africa team, and it's not just a poor team, they have got multiple problems in that team and in that setup. So I feel like that diminishes it slightly, but still, it's a hell of a win. Taking all those issues for South Africa, it's a hell of a win for Italy.
Absolutely is. In recent podcasts, we have been... you know, questioning their tier one status, haven't we?
Yeah, I say get rid of them immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, who is in a worse situation then? South Africa or Wales?
Well, this is an interesting one, isn't it? So I have seen this game, and before we start ripping Wales to pieces...
Actually, before we get into this, can I just say...
You may say that.
Can I just say there are multiple uses for a Cornerstone razor?
No.
If it's got so bad being a South African or a Welsh fan, But I'll just leave that. I'll leave that dangling there. I won't say it anymore. But Cornerstone razors are incredibly sharp. You will have the closest, best shave you could have. They look after us on the podcast. They help us do this. They help us stream this on Facebook Live, which we hope you'll... And thank you for the comments. We'll get through some of those in a little bit. Share and comment and all the rest of it at Rugby Podcast. You can follow us. But you could get, and this is the reason we do it, you could get the best corner, the best razor on the market, better than Wilkinson Sword, better than Gillette, for just £4 for your first order. And with that, you get a free aluminium, customised, engraved with your initials, Cornerstone shaft to go with your beautiful, wonderful Cornerstone razor. If you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg10 at checkout.
Continue.
And if you want, by the way, if you want some beer to go with your razors, beer 52. Some people like beer, some people like razors.
That might
some
be
people
a better
like both of them.
That might be a better solution if you're really, distressed about the state of your Welsh.
Yeah, I was depressed about Wales, so I bought some razors. I should have bought some beer. Joke's on you. Code for that, Rugby10.
Rugby10, beer 52, sorted.
There you go.
So, Wales, you did see this game.
I did see this game. Now, the first thing I want to say is, before we start smashing Wales to pieces, like they deserve to be smashed to pieces, let's just say that Japan outfit is incredibly professional. I mean, you just have to look at them and look at the body shapes, the coaches they've got in charge. The whole operation is a serious, serious tier one level operation. Jamie Joseph is as good a coach as probably money can buy. I think they've got Tony Brown working on the attack there. It's a good, good team. Wales. This isn't my quote, it's someone else's quote regarding Cuthbert. The harder he tries, the worse it gets. And it is just so incredibly true.
He tried
true.
So hard yesterday.
Yeah.
Could not have... I've never seen Alex Cuthbert try that hard before, if that's the case.
Yes, exactly right. Now, if you picked a rugby squad, right, based on numbers of a top trump card, and they were just physical statistics, you would probably pick George North on one wing, and when he was injured, you would get Alex Cuthbert because he's a natural replacement.
Yeah.
I feel so sorry for the lad. He just...
Well, it depends what criteria. Yeah, you're just having height, weight, speed.
Exactly, exactly.
And you're not having... coordination, intelligence, decision making, catching.
Yeah. It's like the Welsh wingers are actually picked on tangible measurements. Everything else just doesn't really matter, and that's how he's kind of got in the team. I can't for the life of me think he must be the second or third best winger in Wales. It can't be right. There are guys playing rugby in Llandudno, in Colwyn Bay, and Nant Conway that are probably slightly more qualified. So it's beyond me. Why is that?
So you reap what you sow. Okay, and I'm going to put it out there. I think Warren Gatland has done a fantastic job for Wales historically.
Yep.
You've always defended Warren Ball.
Yep.
And all of those variations. I think the chickens are coming home to roost a little bit because you've had what, 10 years.
Yeah, 8, I think it is.
Oh, okay. Best part of a decade of Warren Gatland's Warren Ball. And then all of a sudden, in 2016, you say, we don't have anyone who can be a playmaker.
No.
We don't have any centres who are inventive. We have a very short list of fly halves who are able to break a game.
Well.
And I think the two are not... It's not a coincidence that... One has led to another.
I think you made a lot of uncorrelated points there. I mean, we do have a centre that can unlock defences. His name's Scott Williams. Very, very creative player. In fact, Wales has got lots of creative players. They just are seldomly picked for the national team. The Warren Gatland era is going to draw to a close sooner rather than later. The problem we've got at the moment is Rob Howley is in charge. I've spoken about Rob Howley before, so I won't hammer him too hard. He just looks like a defeated man. He looks like he's defeated and he's lost. He looks like one of those football managers who's just got the chairman's vote of confidence.
I thought the Rob Howley thing, I think a lot of people in Wales probably thought this could come at a good time, because they'd already identified Wales have to change the way they play. Yeah. It can't continue. You aside, you're round to that way of thinking now, JB.
Well,
but you weren't.
I'm not,
but
because what Gatland Ball allows us to do, or what it did traditionally allow us to do, is play to our strengths. Now, you can't just change that team. Who are the biggest problem that Wales have is that they have prioritised the national team over the regions. So regional rugby doesn't produce, like, if you look at the Irish setup, the Irish provinces are packed full of talented players. Well, where are these same players for Cardiff Blues, for Ospreys, for Dragons? Well, yeah, you know, exactly.
Right, so you can hold on. Before we get down this little rabbit hole, I want to just focus on the coaching for a second, because here's one little stat that I saw, and this is someone tweeted us at Rugby Podcast. I will find your name and give you the credit, but they went back and watched the 13 minutes that Sam Davies was on the field. Now, he is someone who could be the future for Wales at 10. And they said, in 13 minutes that Sam Davies was on the field, he took the ball at first receiver 3 times. Forwards were at first receiver 14 times in that same 13-minute period. So even when you have someone who has that creativity and has that game-breaking quality, Wales are playing one-out Bosch rugby, looking for contact, going, go through the phases, just go through the phases. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I do disagree with that. But there again, you know, if they did start throwing it to their young creative fly half and it went disastrously wrong, you'd be the first one to say, what are you doing passing to a young fly half on his first cap? You know, so it goes both ways. But no, I don't disagree with what you're saying. It is not working particularly well at the moment.
Is Ainscombe just getting picked above Davies because he has a central contract? So I don't see any other reason for it.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's incredibly arrogant of Wales to think that they could walk over Japan with effectively a second string team. Yeah, they won. It was a good win because Japan are a good team, but they should have put out more first team is their strongest team.
All right. Well, one other point I'd make then. So the coaching, I think, is just poor, and I don't think Warren Gatland's a poor coach. He has done very well, and he's
an excellent coach.
He's an excellent man manager. I think that his style with that squad is past its sell by date, and he hasn't identified the need to change. But the club system in Wales, right? So players don't have to play well for their region side to get into the national side.
Or even play at all.
Look, I'm not going to get into Welsh rugby, right? Because as soon as you do, it opens up a trap door of just, you know, a trap door into a room full of vicious snakes. So just don't even comment on it.
You can't imagine an England player getting picked playing poorly.
And when
we suggest that maybe that is happening with Marlon Yard,
we
were, you know, everyone's up in arms saying, I don't get this. But on that one, it seems like Eddie Jones had a little bit of a plan. He wanted to keep his powder dry with Rocco.
I guess
that
is my point about the national side versus the against the regions. If you're saying these are my centrally contracted Welsh players and we will manage them for the benefit of Wales, well, they're not going out there. They're not having, you know, that intense game time, you know. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it should be changed immediately. But Welsh rugby's got far more problems than I can solve.
What about this? Potentially, we're all wearing our brand new Lions jerseys for 2017.
Yeah.
Which you can see on our Facebook live stream. What are the chances that in the first test against New Zealand, there won't be a single Welshman in that wearing this shirt in the 15? Which seems unthinkable when you think back 4 years and how many Welshmen.
Yeah.
When Gatland announces that his captain is Warburton, the world is just going to end, isn't it? You know, the rugby community is just going to blow up.
I have no idea. I hope he doesn't.
Although, I mean, when Warburton scored his try, that was a little microcosm of Welsh rugby, which is how reliant they are on those two players, Alan Wynn passing to Sam Warburton.
Yeah. I think there is a good chance that Warburton will be named captain.
Yeah, I think there's a strong chance. You might see Faletau in the start, in the lineup.
Did you just watch CJ Stander playing?
Oh, yeah.
different players.
So if you want a captain, you've got the four captains of the home nations, and I know it doesn't have to be one of those players, but they'd be the most likely options. I don't think it'll be Laidlaw. I don't think it'll be Best.
I don't think Laidlaw will even go on tour.
Possibly not. It won't be Laidlaw as captain of the tour. I don't think it'll be Best. I don't think it'll be Hartley, but he's probably the closest one other than Warburton, and Gatland's got a track record of supporting Warburton.
Yeah, well, there has been a precedence of a national captain not getting the Lions captaincy.
O'Driscoll and O'Connell. Yeah.
So he might go a completely different way.
Yeah, he could do. He todgy.
Actually, I think Martin Johnson was Lions captain before England captain.
Was he?
I think he might be. Yeah, I think Dallaglio was England captain.
Yeah, they picked him because they wanted someone that a South African would have to look up to. That was the psychological thing they wanted. But by the way, some comments have been coming in on Facebook. Sam French said, "Learn to cross those legs, ladies. Keep the mouse in the house."
I'm quite comfortable how things are.
Yeah, and Martin DeRidder said, on the subject of England getting the beating all the All Black record of consecutive Test wins in Tier 1, said, remember, if we also get 18, Stuart Lancaster got the first one.
It's a very good point. Uruguay. Yeah. Poor old Stu.
Poor old Stu.
Mind you, he's doing all right for himself now. He's got a little cushy number in Dublin.
Yeah. Podreg has messaged on Facebook saying, JB, you're showing too much there. So I think that's an echo in the previous comment.
It's fine. Let the boys play.
Okay.
Quiz, no rugby social today?
I have got a little fun thing for us.
Shall we save it for the domestic?
No.
Okay.
So there was a story about an international rugby player. This is the international podcast. He was a Spanish international rugby player.
Oriol Ripoll.
Going, is there another one?
There was one.
Oh no, Italian rugby player. Sorry, Italian rugby player, former Italian rugby player who was inspired by Breaking Bad, and is facing jail after building his own crystal meth lab in London and making hundreds of thousands of pounds from dealing meth. He even made the meth amphetamine blue, just like in Breaking Bad.
I'm actually surprised that more people aren't doing this.
You tempted?
No, I'm rubbish with chemistry.
But I'll find the guy's name. But it did inspire me. On Friday afternoon, we tweeted out and asked for suggestions for a drugs 15.
We had an incredible response as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to run through a 15. Oh, we should get the Breaking Bad music. Let me get the Breaking Bad music while I do this.
Oh, I can get up for you right here and we can do it.
Have you got it? Okay. So thank you very much. At Rugby Podcast is where you can get us on Twitter. So if we miss one or you got a better suggestion, then you can get in touch. Are you doing it, JB?
I'm doing it now, mate. It's hang on a second, mate.
I've got it if you want it. I've got it here if you need it.
Yeah, but we'll do it.
You're doing it your way. You want to use your little toys, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, mate.
All right.
Here you go. Oh, and best songs. What's that about? I'm Breaking Bad best songs. I just want the
Breaking Bad theme.
Just want the theme tune. Goodness me. Maybe you do it, Tim.
All right, maybe I'll do it then. Okay. Loose head prop, suggested by Peter Wright, is Ellis Ganja.
okay, fair enough.
Mike Norris has got a hooker as George Shooter.
Fine.
Martin Castrogiovanni.
Yeah.
Says Matt Stevens. Second rows, there was loads. There was Brent Cokebane.
Yeah.
But I liked Marijuana Itoji. James Mitchell. Alf Montague said Eben Etzemeth. And then there was, you could have an all South African second row with Wacky Backies both.
Yeah, I like that.
Blindside flanker, James Haskell or Jerome Cocaino. And open side flanker, Richie Smakor. It's a bit tenuous. Or Neil Blowback. But I don't want to use Dave Lowe's suggested of Neil Blowback because I like number 8, Josh Blomont. Kevin Wu suggested that one. And Banker's Bonus on Twitter said Kieran Weed.
I like that one.
Fly half, Morgan Paracetamol.
Next.
Fly half, you had Charlie Hodgson, anyone called Charlie. I liked Rugby Reg's suggestion of Michael Liner Coke. and then 2CPCP was quite good as well.
That's very good.
Yeah,
that is very good. Left wing, James Snort, Rico Gear or Hosea Gear.
Yeah.
Centres, you could have Adam Hashley Cooper and Matt Popper. and a right wing of Paul Smacky, said Sam Honeywill, or Joe Rocker Cocaine, says Tom Powell, and a fullback Pills Miliana.
I like Scott Speeding as well.
Oh, yes.
Or Scott Sped, P-E-D. Yes.
And Sam Roberts, our friend of the pod, got in touch and said, Dave, methylene dioxymethamphetamine. He was a cracking player for Fylde back in the day. I think you might be having a laugh. And I didn't understand this tweet. Maybe you can explain it. But Mean Englishman on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, said, Alex Cuthbert, Andrew Higgins, Michael Lippmann, Matt Stevens.
Oh, no.
But I don't understand that. I think you must have been confused.
We did miss one guy, Max Caps. Have you heard of Max Caps?
No.
Max Caps isn't a drug. It's this guy used to play for Salford City Reds who, let me get this right, was caught in a traffic stop, lost his cool completely, and then the police managed to pull out bags of drugs from his mouth, 12 packets of crack cocaine worth 170 quid, and 5 packets of pure heroin valued at £677. There you go.
Okay, Max Caps, you're in.
Max Caps.
At Rugby Podcast to tweet us.
I love the fact that the value is just so exact. £677, exactly.
Street value.
Yeah, so Max Caps, everyone.
Right, international rugby. What else we got? Oh, Kurindrani's finish. Yes. Oh, my word.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, wasn't it?
If you haven't seen it, go and have a look at Kurindrani's finish for Australia in what was a good win for them over France.
Yeah.
We don't need, you will not need to visit an adult website for several weeks. You've got everything you need right there. However, so yeah, light a candle and enjoy watching that
The Pacific Islanders Sevens team that they put out, like a picture of all the guys from the islands,
yes,
from France and Australia.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's similar to Tonga played USA this weekend.
Yeah.
And the USA players all joined the Tongan huddle for a song and a chant after the game.
Oh, fab.
Not my thing.
Technically, that Kurindrani try wasn't actually a try, though.
Why?
Because I want it to be a try and I'm glad it was. But the law is, because it was in contact with the post and the try line.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the law is if you ground the ball at the base of the post, as in the touching goal post.
Yeah.
The corner flag, if you like. If you place the ball at the base of the flag, it is a try.
Okay.
Kurindrani, the contact was made with the post before
higher up,
before it rolled down to the ground and touched the floor, which means it was out.
It was
touching
out.
Goal, but that's split.
Hang on,
it went to a TMO. Obviously.
The post, as in what?
The flag,
the corner
oh,
flag.
Oh, the flag, not the actual
corner
post.
Flag.
The corner
yeah.
flag.
Ah.
But they have those little foam things that go around them now. Don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah.
The square things, probably for branding.
Do you know what? I'm genuinely amazed. No one's injured themselves badly on a post. Whether it be like the plastic ones that we have down at Talk H, have you ever seen one shatter?
Yeah,
and they're
like
basically
razor
weapons,
sharp.
They're like shanks.
Yeah,
and I'm amazed that no one's ever been impaled on a flag post.
There
before.
You go. Have you ever been impaled on a post at Rugby Podcast? Please let us know. Post injuries, please. Corner flag problems.
I do remember there was an episode once of 999. That was a horrific show. And a teenager slips and puts a javelin through his neck and survives.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Oh.
The worst bit about that is it's like watching the first 10 minutes of Casualty.
Oh, I love,
you
I
know
love that.
You know what's coming and you go, oh, no.
Warren Gatland on a ladder underneath a flight path, dogs running around.
He's on the, someone's calling the phone, he's got a cup of tea. What's he going to do? What's going to cause it to fall off and shatter?
Sweetheart,
his heels?
This tea's extra hot, isn't it? Yep. We've all been there. Anyway, I don't know why we got on that tangent.
That's all right.
Any other games from this week? So there's the Scotland
Argentina. Scotland, we've not said anything about.
Yeah, with the last minute penalty. Mm. Where they had the. Did you see?
I don't know the score. I don't know anything about this game.
19-16.
To
Scotland.
Oh, wow.
With a last minute penalty. A minute before, in the 78th minute, they built up. They were in Argentina's 22. It's 16-16 at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
In Argentina's 22, and Finn Russell goes for a drop goal, and it was charged down, and you thought, that's it, game over. But then they retained the ball, started working it forward again, and a stupid no-arm tackle given by one of the Argentines gave the penalty away.
Oh, what an idiot.
Just, you know, the chop tackle.
That's what I was going to say.
What he did was a chop tackle
with
no arms, and then on the floor wraps his arms around. So they're both lying on the floor and he just wraps his arms around to try and make it look like he had done. It's so stupid.
That's what I was going to say about the Sam Kane tackle. Let's revisit this. Do you think the fact that they made head-to-head contact made the rest of the tackle a lot more clumsy? And you see, do you know when, same with the chop tackle, do you know when you have a chop tackle and Dan Liddett's knocked out before he even completes the wrapping of the arms? You go, oh, no arm tackle, knockout, and yellow card, off you go.
Yeah.
That's anyway, not to revisit that.
Let's not revisit that.
I'll tell you what I will revisit is some of the comments on Facebook at the moment, and apparently it's being reported in a newspaper and in other probably less reputable and more places. Whatever, I'm losing my energy now, boys.
Fine.
Rob Howley will be the Lions attack coach.
Yeah, I heard that.
Wow.
Brilliant. At least we know what we're going to get from the Lions.
Hmm.
I'd
also heard this is more positive for possibly the Lions and for Wales. Ben Ryan could be skills coach.
That'd be interesting.
That doesn't really excite me at all.
I'd be interested
to see
what
he's a sevens coach, isn't he? He's a sevens coach. He's a good coach.
Have I ever mentioned that he coached me at 15?
No. Did he?
I'll tell you about it another time. I don't talk about it. It's fine.
Oh, you should mention that more. it doesn't excite me too much. Shall we do the predictions for next week's games then?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Sorry, Scottish fans. We should probably have gone into more depth there, but...
Seen the highlights. I've not seen the full game.
Same.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because I was in the...
I'm at my limit of 26 hours of rugby this week, so...
Yes. Yeah. Right, quick notes on the games.
Oh, by the way, just one more thing. We have been told that maybe our little catchphrase should be changed from "Let the boys play" to "Let the boys breathe," requesting that you keep your legs crossed.
Oh dear,
they are very short.
They're not that short.
They are pretty short.
If you want to see just how short JB's shorts are,
there you go.
Oh, oh, lovely.
Egg Chasers on Facebook. Have a look at the video of this podcast. Right, go on then, Phil.
Right, so again, we've got some less important games followed by some more important games. So we've got French Barbarians play Australia, which I imagine will be a second string Australia team.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa play Canada in France, in Grenoble. Germany play Brazil in Leipzig.
Mm.
Italy play Tonga.
That should be a very good game. Tonga?
That should be interesting.
Can I also just show you something which is going to put you right off as we wrap up this podcast? We're being watched on people's... Because of now, people have like sticks, and, like Chromecast and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're on people's TVs in their living room. Oh, their fireplace.
Hi, guys.
Hi. That was Alan Hardiman, I think.
One of these days... No, forget it.
Yeah, Alan. Evening, Alan.
Italy-Tonga, you'd expect a good Italy win. Then we've got Romania-Uruguay in Bucharest, which will be interesting. And Fiji play Japan in France again.
Excellent.
And then the bigger games. So England play Argentina.
Yep.
Are we all going for an England win?
Yeah, I am. Argentina have been disappointed.
Disappointing, yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I just assumed that Eddie Jones would shuffle his deck a little bit more. I was kind of pleased that he didn't, in a way. He's just...
Yeah.
Who do you think will be the wingers for England?
Rocco. And if May's fit, yeah. Yard again today didn't do anything.
No.
He's not done anything at all this season.
No.
There's no reason why he would be pushed back.
I'd like to see Rocco get a real shot now.
Yeah. In a slightly more high key test match as well.
Yeah.
So are we all saying England win?
Yep.
Yep.
Hopefully we actually get to see some of the Argentinian flair as well, because we've not seen it at all in the Welsh or Scottish games.
No, they've been incredibly boring. They were against Wales, weren't they, about Scotland?
Well, they scored 16 points.
I want to see how Dan Cole gets on, because he had a rough time of it against South Africa. And Dylan Hartley, not his captain and stuff, but if he weren't the captain, there's arguments that deserves his spot.
I'd like to see that change sooner rather than later, actually.
Interesting. But the problem I have with that is who do you make captain?
Good question. Well, if Launchby plays, he won't be a bad shout.
Has he got much? He's done it a bit at Wasps, not a huge amount.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who's got experience of it?
Yeah. He's so hot and cold, I don't know.
It's going to be Dylan Hartley.
And Farrell could do it.
Farrell could do it, but you're adding a lot of pressure to a guy who's already playing out of position and kicking sticks.
It wouldn't upset me that much, you know, if Rob Shaw was giving it.
It wouldn't upset me that much, but he has shown he's made some bad decisions. Like, it's easy to say with hindsight, but he's done it on a number of occasions.
It's weird, though, to think that you picked Hartley as a captain for his, you know, decision making. Of all the things you're picking for.
Yeah.
It's not decision making. So maybe Rob Shaw could.
Maybe.
You know, he leads by example and works hard. I think it'd be. I also think it's almost a little bit deserved that he has, you know, if the opportunity arises, that he definitely should be considered.
If Hartley was injured, it'd be interesting to see what they'd do.
Yes.
Then we've got Scotland, Georgia, which I would expect a Scottish win, but it should be a good test for Georgia. We've got Ireland, Australia, which will be a hell of a game.
Yep.
And I'm not too sure which way that's going to go. I could see Australia winning that. If Ireland aren't clinical, they were 2 weeks ago in Chicago, they were very clinical. They were not at all this week. And
do you think there is a chance, though, that Ireland are all emotioned out now?
In terms of the Axel Foley?
No, as in terms of they beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
They were on a roll. They stormed through Canada. And then they kind of built up for this New Zealand game. And if they'd have won it, I'd have said we take their momentum through to Australia. But I don't think they're going to do
did
that.
Did we overblow, because it was 111 years coming, did we overblow that win? Because you pointed it out on podcast a couple of weeks ago, Phil. New Zealand had lost centres.
Yeah.
They ended up with Ardie Surveyor on the wing.
Yep. No, I don't think we did. I don't think we did, because the All Blacks team and the game last night was so much different to other All Blacks games and, you know, the style of play and how it all panned out. I mean, the actual point score is very low.
Yeah, I don't.
I wasn't playing devil's advocate, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think we did blow it up. I think Ireland have played.
But if we didn't make enough of it, that's what I'd say.
Ireland played very well in both games, but it's that question mark over their cutting edge. That is the only thing that concerns me. If they can make those breaks and finish them off, then they can beat Australia.
Yeah.
Obviously, conversely. It could be tough for them.
All right. Next up, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'm worried about an Australia win as well.
Yeah, Australia win would
I'm
be
worried
worrying.
About. I've got a feeling they might beat England, but anyway.
Yeah,
England are gonna hammer them. I won't worry about it.
I'm not so sure. Anyway, next game, Wales, South Africa, the two least on form teams. Is that?
Yeah,
fair to say.
We need a name for this cup, the Cuthbert Cup.
Oh, right, right. Okay, stop. I need to point this out. I love this. So, one of the nice things about rugby, one of the things I really love is the history, like a club crest and all the rest of it. And when England play Scotland, they play with the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah.
Which is three cobras made out of rupees on, you know, little bell shaped thing. It's just amazing. You know, it's amazing, like the history and how it's made and all the rest of it. And the Webb Ellis Trophy. They actually just found it in a jeweler's, and they don't know what it's for. It's not made for rugby. They quite liked it. It was a kind of last minute thing, but it's very rugby the way it is, all kind of quite tin pot and thrown together. It's actually got a pineapple on it, and I think it's got dolphins on it too. I'll have to check that out. Wales played Japan for the most historic trophy of all. It's the Under Armour Cup. And it's just a silver cup with Under Armour engraved on it. So I don't know. I mean, presumably, it's not going to have the history of the Calcutta Cup have been played for over 100 times over 100 years. Because when Wales change their sponsorship deal to Reebok, they're not presumably going to play for the Under Armour Cup ever again, are they?
See, I just don't believe that the relationships between Japan and Wales will be good. I think it'll be frosty, because if you were a Japanese player, I would refuse to swap my jersey with my Welsh opponent.
Oh, I was looking at those jerseys. They're amazing, aren't they?
The Japanese kits are incredible, and the Welsh kit is horrible.
Well, do you know, Canterbury, they don't learn their lesson. When you make as nice a kit as the Japanese one, and it keeps selling out, make more of them. They've literally got no more Japanese kits left again.
Wow.
So make more, because they sell well.
And give us some.
Exactly right.
Well, no, we got the last one from the World Cup.
Right. Where is that?
Where is it?
It's size large. So I do occasionally I might pop it on. Anyway,
I'll give you my Jets top and my Jets hat if I can borrow the shirt to put on the wall. Only borrow it, not have it. Just borrow it.
We'll put it on the wall. We need to have it in shot. We need to rotate some of these. Yeah. That Brady one needs to be rotated.
What? It's been there too long. That's the best top here.
We need to, when it's an international pod, we need international shirts.
Yeah.
And when it's a domestic pod, we need domestic shirts.
Our fantasy league.
Yeah.
You reminded me of Brady then. I'm going to build the Brady Cup. That's what we're going to play for, the Brady Cup.
Well, this might be worth talking about on the domestic podcast.
Yes.
When we do the domestic podcast, which is coming midweek to this feed. So subscribe, please. Acast on iTunes, subscribe, and we'll deliver it straight to you. And I will tell you that we will give you all the information we have on George Ford, because I have some extra information.
Do you?
Ooh.
Well, it might not be extra to you. I may have shared this with you already. Okay. Privately, however, I will share what I know, which is more than has been reported in papers and stuff.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what I understand
on Wednesday
on the George Ford situation, which is coming out on Wednesday,
Or later on this feed, whichever way you want to play it.
Whenever, depending on when you're listening to this, it could be any time. Anyway,
so who's going to win, Wales, South Africa?
Okay, so back to this game. This game, two of the most disappointing teams of the autumn. It should be banned from being played in the national stadium. They should play it on a school field somewhere. It should be treated with the disdain that it deserves.
Yeah. Keelan Giles in, Cuthbert out. 18-year-old Keelan Giles.
I'll go on the wing.
Sam Davies 10.
Well, you just have Halfpenny, Liam Williams, and George North, and then Keelan Giles.
Why is George North injured?
Do you know what?
Was he just rested?
I'm gonna put it out there. Liam Williams is fantastic, but he's so good at fullback. I just don't think Halfpenny is. Well, I'm going to put it out there. I wouldn't pick Halfpenny. I wouldn't pick Cuthbert. Wouldn't pick Halfpenny. Wouldn't pick Roberts.
But you
wouldn't pick Bigger.
Okay,
wouldn't pick Lydiot.
This game isn't big enough for Dan Bigger. I agree. So I wouldn't go with him. Lions test, yeah, bring him back, sure. I'm surprised to say that about Halfpenny because you quite like the New Zealand one finisher, two ball player fullbacks. The problem with Halfpenny is one of the worst kept secrets in the world is he's a terrible catcher and passer of a rugby ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he genuinely is dreadful at that.
Yeah.
He's good at tackling, he's good at high balls.
Yeah. And he's good at kicking long range penalties.
Yeah. Good God, he's bad at catching and passing.
Yeah.
And I mean, a Halfpenny pass to Cuthbert is just asking for trouble, isn't it?
What do you reckon, a 20% success rate?
Less.
Unopposed in training, less than 20% success rate.
It's like watching Dave Ward throw unopposed to Charlie Matthews in a warm up and miss it. That's the sort of standard that we're looking at.
So,
who's going to win?
I don't know. Oh, rugby,
God, it's so
rugby
horrible
will not.
To pick.
Yeah,
rugby's a loser.
Yeah. I'm going to say Wales at home.
I think they're both, rather than Wales going, do you know what, we need to open up. I think they're going to go more, it's going to become so important they win, they're going to go even tighter.
Yeah.
And I think South Africa are going to do exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, that that's the default setting for how you win a game.
Well, it's not like the expectation of a nation and disappointment of a nation is going to kind of unshackle the team and allow them to play really expansive rugby, is it?
When was the last time you were this frustrated watching Wales? It must be 10 years.
The thing is, I'm not really... I mean, I do support Wales when I watch them on TV, but I'm not really a massive Welsh fan. I'm not really a massive fan of any team. So it doesn't... You know, I'm not really
Except
that frustrated.
Sale Sharks.
Sales,
it used to be Bath. You used to go on about Bath. I remember those days. And Exeter. You've left... But people that listen to this podcast that support Bath and Exeter must feel so hurt by your turncoat nature.
No, I will support or take interest in any club that I think, or team, are doing interesting things. That's the only thing I really care about. I mean,
or who you've met a couple of people from.
It does play into it, but if that was the case, surely I'd be a huge Tigers fan.
Yeah, well, that only came via sale shot anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Final game, France-New Zealand, which I think will be a comfortable New Zealand win, probably 15 to 20 points. But again,
I'm not sure about
It'd be nice to see France progressing.
They have been progressing.
Yeah, they have.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, clearly New Zealand.
New Zealand comfortably.
Yes.
Because I don't think France will be able to sustain that defensive effort that Ireland did. And Ireland did for a huge period of that game and still conceded three tries.
Mm.
I don't think France will be able
to sustain. So if you're France, how do you go about this game? Do you plough the Stade de France before New Zealand show up?
I think you have to play very, very simple rugby, which is...
You hope for rain and you water the pitch?
And you kick to the weak links, try and find space, kick to Surveyor and put everyone chase, having like a full field press.
Yeah.
And then hope for the best.
When Australia were in their pomp with Larkham, Burke and Latham.
Sterling Mortlock.
They spotted John Lomu as a weak link,
yeah,
and they peppered him with high balls.
Yeah.
And Joe Roth would be all over him.
Yeah.
So
he was a Rolls Royce of a player, wasn't he?
Wasn't he just? And in some ways similar to Jamie Roberts. Was he an Oxford Blue?
Yeah.
He definitely played in the varsity.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe they do target Surveyor.
Hmm.
All the games?
Yeah. That's all the games for next week. And then the following week, there's only a couple. It's just England-Australia because it's outside the window.
Right. So, shall we wrap this pod up?
Yeah.
If you're watching on Facebook Live, keep it on because we will just continue. We will reset the music. You'll see how the sausage is made. And, yeah, let's just wrap this up then.
All right. Yeah, so one final mention. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or Egg 10 at checkout if you want to get on board with those guys and help support the podcast because they keep us going. Thank you very much for listening. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Acast, subscribe. Next podcast coming straight to you. Top work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
Top work, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.